Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Authors Roundtable. I'm your host, R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing series on Kindle Unlimited, the On the Set and Departed Soul series coming soon. I'm also the editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly Magazine and host of Navigating Indie World Radio Show. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Carol P. Roman, author of over 51 books and host of Navigating Indie World Blog Show. And let's say hello to our neighbors. I'm also creative director of Indie Authors Monthly Magazine.
Hi there, I'm Anita Dickinson, author of the FBI Tracker Crime series, and I'm the fiction editor, columnist, and sometimes book reviewer for Indie Authors Monthly Magazine.
Author Miranda O is your typical girl. She loves the sunset, loves long walks on the beach, world travels, and when not playing the corporate part, she can be found sipping wine and spending all her hard-earned money on shoes. Among her friends and family, Miranda O is known to be the storyteller of the group, always recapping crazy life stories and situations. Her personal experiences, emotions, and fantasies are the inspiration for most of her books, so there's a little bit of her in every story.
Hi, Miranda. This is Anita, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Anita. Hey, ladies. How's it going?
Well, we're doing great and glad to have you here.
I'm super happy to be here.
Well, I get to kick it off. And I got to tell you, I got such a chuckle out of your title for your series when I read it. Chin up, tits out.
Yes.
It brought back a great, fun memory. I got to tell you this. During my college days, I did a short stint with a local acting group. And as part of it, I had to attend a class on voice projection. So one of the exercises was walking around the stage with this book on my head while I spoke my lines. And I had the teacher on the sidelines shouting louder, chin up, chest out. We called it chest back in those days. But I'm really curious as where did you get the inspiration for that really clever title?
Oh, I got to thank my mama for that. It is all her. And it was very much a childhood chin up, chest out, shoulders back, you know, hold your head up high, be proud of who you are. And it kind of evolved into the chin up, tits out as, you know, as I turned into a teenager and you know, it was all hormonal and looking for a compliment. My mom's like, oh, my goodness, like, you know, you're good looking. Just chin up, tits out and go have fun. And when I wrote the book, the first one, I had no idea what the title was going to be. I really, to be honest with you, really had no idea what I was doing. All I knew is what I was writing a book that turned into three. So I wrote the whole book and still didn't have a title, sent it off to the editor, still didn't have a title. And then when I got it back to reread all the edits, I kept seeing chin up, tits out pop up, that the main character would coach herself with that little mantra whenever she hit a roadblock in life. And it just became this little daily mantra or motto and this attitude that, if you continue to make sure you do that for yourself, hold yourself accountable to take care of number one, that the confidence is just going to exude out of you at that point. And then, you know, a big, beautiful fiction series came out of it.
Well, I tell you what, it's a great title. I loved it.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, it had a real kind of Carrie Bradshaw vibe. I'm sure you know who Carrie Bradshaw is. This is Carol P. Roman, by the way. You know, sort of
Carrie
Sex
Bradshaw
in the City.
And her shoes, yeah. And I. Yes, yes, exactly, Sex in the City. But just a little less New York, because I have no experience in that, and I was kind of writing from as what I knew. And so it has a little Canadian twist on it, let's say.
Yes, yeah, so it says in your autobiography that your personal experiences, emotions, and fantasies are the inspiration for the books. So there's a little bit of you in every story. So what part of this story is you, you know?
Well, you know, I was going through through my 20s and just the roller coaster of being a female in your 20s and trying to figure yourself out. And I personally went through a lot of really interesting things. And I kept telling myself, "Ooh, girl, you got to write yourself a book one day." And then, you know, I guess law of attraction, one day I was like, all right, I'm ready to write a book. And so I kind of pieced out important pieces of my life and created a story that was not all reality, not all fiction, a whole little, you know, mix of a little bit of both. And you know, that's where the fantasy draws into, and the deepest, you know, secrets have all come out in kind of a twisted way and created this whole, there's a whole other beast of a story. And yeah, that's kind of where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, just piggybacking off of that, like, what was that one thing that made you say, okay, right now is the time to write the book? Like, was there one specific thing, or did it just, you know, come out of the blue?
You know what? I can actually remember the moment that I told myself that I was ready to write my story. I was sitting in nowhere, Saskatchewan, up in the middle of Canada, and it was 6 o'clock at night. I had worked a full day's of work. I had golfed a whole round of golf with the client that I was with. I'd eaten supper, and I was in my hotel room, and I was like, all right, sweet. What am I going to do now? And I had transitioned so much in that year leading up to that moment, and I finally realized that I had the time and the balance in all other aspects of my life to take on a new project. And that was when I started to write it out, and then it just continued to come out for 2 years, one book right after another. Yeah, very wild ride.
Let me get back here because I got the next one up.
Yeah, you do.
Are there any other books or authors that have influenced your style over the years? And if so, who are they?
Ooh, two polar opposite authors. One of them is Lauren Till. He's a Canadian author. He wrote The Book of Negroes, and I absolutely loved that book. One, it was the largest book I had ever started and finished consecutively and could not put it down. And I loved how he told his stories and how he evoked so much raw emotion in his stories, that, you know, there was no connection between me and the people in the book that he was telling the stories of, but I could feel what they were feeling in the way that he was writing. And I really strived to make sure that whatever I was writing about in my stories, that the reader could feel the, you know, the hole in their chest that, you know, that happens when anxiety or panic attacks happen, or, you know, the excitement of finally getting to marry the love of your life in that moment. You know, like, I want those feelings that, you know, the burst of excitement or the knots in your stomach or whatever, that angry head throb that comes from it. I really strived, and he was kind of an inspiration for that. And then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, Chelsea Handler, when she's put out her books, I don't know what made me navigate towards her books, but I just love them because they were raw and they were wild and they were hilarious. And she was like, this is me. I'm going to do me. And I don't care if you like it or not. If you like it, perfect. Have fun. Join me. But if you don't like it, then just turn around and don't look. And I love that confidence. I love that attitude. And that was what I really strived for when I was writing my book as well, was trying to show, you know, trying to spin humor on everything, try to always spin a positive light on it, but yet add a little sick, twisted humor and some, you know, alcoholic beverages every now and then. I don't think that's a bad mix right there.
So this is Ara again. So what was the hardest part for you to write when you were writing all your books? Like, in book one, was there any challenges you came up against?
Mm, Not necessarily. Book one was really easy for me to write. It just kind of came pouring out. Plus, again, it was my first book, so I just kind of poured all of myself into it as fast as I could, and then I got it off to the publishers, and then it was, all right, I'm done with that. The second book I struggled with a lot more because I was writing about some really heavy things and some really real things that a lot of us are touched with, and you know, there's always dark clouds hovering over these taboos and these, you know, that happen in our life, just life circumstances, right? And it was really hard for me to relive that, but I healed from it personally. But then because it was hard that I had to dig deep into a place where I kind of was just on autopilot to get through it, I had to kind of rip open at Pandora's box in the deep, dark corner of my brain. So that was kind of a wild ride. And it made for a really emotional book. A lot of people were that I've heard from personally have just said, like, wow, that was not expected after the first one. But, oh, my gosh, I can't wait till the third one. And I'm with everybody on that. Like, it was exhausting to write that and then to present it. And I loved it, every minute of it. But after that, I was like, oof, you know, my mental sanity needs a year or so off before I can go back and finish the trilogy. And so book two was the hardest part. And I think we're over the hump now.
Usually, so, Mr. Carol. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want to step on anybody. Go ahead, Anita.
Oh, I was just going to say that I saw a difference in page count. In your first book, it was 77 pages. So I think your second one was, what, 342?
Yeah.
I see that? So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of relating to the extension of the storyline and your plot in your second book. And I can see maybe why that would have been a little bit more difficult. Okay. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, you know, so much of the book is a reflection of your life. Did you go through meeting the love of your life and then having it implode on you?
That's a really wonderful way of putting it, but yes. So I guess it wasn't the love of my life. It was just the love of that chapter of my life.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm, you know, and I think that we all have different types of love that blossom throughout our lives. You know, we meet certain people and we're connected to them. It doesn't necessarily that I'm in love with you, but I do love you deeply. And it could be a family member or a friend or whatnot, right? So the trauma that happened through the whole breakdown, the drama, let's call it, through the entire course of this relationship was so up and down and twisted and wild. And it was, you know, I was all over the world, and it was a wild ride, and I needed a little break after that one.
Yeah, I think writing about it is therapeutic, though. You know, when we talk about life-changing things that we go through and we write, even if we're not writing about ourselves and we see it acted out in a book, I think there's something therapeutic in it. I think it allows us to close a door.
Yes, very much. Get closure. My situation, there was no closure. It was a very abrupt. So it might not be what you think it is. So I encourage you to turn the pages, but it was abrupt and that adjustment, and it was difficult to adjust to after the fact and then to rewrite it in order to heal. You know, it came out, you have to remember it, right? And then you have to put it to paper and then you have to refine it and edit it again. And, you know, it's the version of that came out, because, you know, there's so many versions of the truth, right? The version that came out was healing for me, because the guilt was gone, all the bad emotions that were connected to it were almost all lifted by the time that book two was over. So, and then book three, it's going to be like a little butterfly emerging out of the cocoon.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah.
Well, Miranda, do you think that there's a difference between chick lick and romance, or are they more kind of in the same vein?
I don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of gray area between those two. When I think of romance, I think of like Fabio with long flowing hair on the back of a stallion and, you know, getting locked in a cabin and having a romantic, whimsical weekend. And when I think of chick lit, I think female literature, chick literature is just such a broad spectrum that maybe romance could be interjected into there. Because I definitely have pieces of romance in my book, but there's a lot of drama attached to my book and a lot of humor that's attached to my book that I wouldn't necessarily see, or maybe I might be wrong, I'm just not reading the right romance books, but that I don't necessarily see in the romance books that I've read in the past.
You know, so you're a published author now.
Yes.
What do you think is the hardest obstacle to overcome? In the public, you know, we go through the different stages. We think of the book, we write the book, we send it to an editor. Did you get picked up by a publisher, or are you an indie?
I'm an indie.
You're an indie. So,
yeah.
We're all indies. So What do you think is the hardest, the biggest obstacle as an indie author?
Ooh, to stand out from all the other titles that are out there. When somebody scrolls through Amazon and looks at the book titles, you know, that's, there's so much going on those Amazon pages. So it's like, how do I stick out from everybody else? I don't want to steal everybody else, but I want to stick out from everybody else. And I think that the way around that is to, one, build yourself outside of your book, which I try to do. So I try to be very visible on social media and share, hey, this is like my life. Here's what I'm all about. And as you can see, my books are about that kind of fun stuff too. Go check it out. Click the link in the bio. You know, I try to build it out that way. And then my publicist team, we really have this ideal that together we're better, right? So it really is a wonderful kind of work, like that group that we have, that we all kind of promote each other's stuff and we're all a team, and it's a really nice, it's nice to have that kind of connection in the industry, because, you know, the more indie authors that we get to know and get to love and appreciate and respect and get to grow business with, we all get better together, right? So I think strength in numbers is the most difficult part to grab, but once you got it, then I think then it's just a slow climbing from there.
Right. So, like, you know, we all use tools. Like Anita, mm-hmm. Anita has a couple of blog thing, right? Anita, you have blog radio, yep. Blog shows. RL created the magazine. You know, I depend a lot on my mailing lists, and I used to use social media a lot more. But which do you find? You use blog tours? What kind of medium do you like to go for?
Oh, you know what? I like it all, honestly. I like being visual. If I can hop on and be visible to people, I definitely think that that's an asset of mine, that I think I'm a lot more better in person than I am on paper. But, I mean, that's my own opinion. Who knows? So I love being visible in the public eye, and that's what I'm trying to do, because, you know, if you do it and you strive, this chin up, tits out attitude, I mean, worst case scenario, that's, I'm trying to sell confidence here. That's all. Not even sell confidence. I'm just trying to share the confidence and share the love, actually.
It's really interesting. I mean, we all kind of learn from each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
On what works and what doesn't work.
Mhm. We do. We do. And we are on, like, because you get more brains, and then more brains equals more power, and then more power equals more knowledge, right? And then knowledge equals confidence. And then you go out and you execute whatever it is.
Definitely. This is RL. So I wanted to ask, what's next for you? I know you say you have the third book that's coming out, but any other titles, anything else exciting happening you want to let everybody know about?
Other than the third book is on its way. I actually just spent 5 hours earlier today editing and writing, and I don't know about you, but I'm knee slapping laughing through this. I'm having a lot of fun with this book. So I'm really excited about it because it's going to be the happily ever after, but it's going to be the happily ever after that you are not expecting. So for those of you who've read up to the end of book two, when it abruptly ends and you're going to want more, then just know that it's coming within the first half of 2019. And it's going to be the end of the Chin Up, Tits Out series.
After the Chin Up, Tits Out, do you have any other, like, series in mind that's coming up?
I don't know. I know that's just such a lousy answer. I really want to take these books as far as they will go and as big as they will go, because I think that there's so much more to them. And if I can take them to other mediums, then I'm definitely going to expand that. And who knows what's going to come out with it. I mean, I always have stories coming out of my life. So who knows if something really fun and creative is going to come out. I'm always in talks with, you know, people that are like-minded, and we're working on, you know, possible collaborations, but, you know, nothing that's solid at this moment, no.
You mentioned that you'd spent 5 hours, I guess, today on writing. Is that correct? So how do you structure your time when, you know, everybody has got such a busy schedule, and I'm really sometimes fascinated by the different techniques that authors use to make time to write, especially if you've got a family and you've got all the obligations and stuff that go on. I even had one friend of mine said she actually reserves from 10 at night to midnight because she knows that nobody's going to bother her. So how do you structure your time? When do you blend in, you know, the time to write?
I blend in the time really on the weekends. I work a corporate job during the week, so that pretty much ties up my week, and then my weeknights are filled with, you know, other obligations and activities. I try to stay physical. And so weekends, what I'll typically do is if I can do the whole day on Saturday, I wake up, I work out, I have a cup of coffee or two or five, and then I sit down, I turn on some music, light a candle, set the lighting and make myself comfortable, and put my phone on silent and just hammer at it. And I have a little notebook that has all my story in chronological order and point forms just to kind of guide my writing. And I have all my chapters lined out. So it's just a matter of now plugging away at making some good content here until I get tired and then I need to stop. And that usually, like, the most I can do would be like 8 hours or so. That's 8 or 9 hours. It's a long day to sit down for that long.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I always love hearing how other authors structure their writing schedule. So are there any signing events that you come up, or do you do signing events?
Yeah, I do signing events. I don't have anything coming up right now. Simply the summer, I had the opportunity to kind of just take it off and lay low, and that's what I did. And this fall, I'm really focused on getting book three completed. So when it's done, then when my book does launch next year, then that will be, I'll do a bunch of signings then, and, you know, get as much coverage as I can for that launch.
Well, Miranda, this has been fun. Can you provide links to the books?
Yes, I can provide links to the books. You can find them at www.mirandao.com or on amazon.com. Just type in Chin Up, Tits Out, and I'm right there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Miranda, and spending this time with us. It's been amazing. It's been really, you know, nice to get to know you and actually hear some of the personality that we read in the book. We could totally, you know, see you in your series. For our listeners, if you want to stay up to date with Miranda and find out more about her book, please visit her at www.mirandaoh, that's MirandaOh.com. And you could find her on Twitter at omirandaoh. Is that correct? O-H, Miranda,
yeah.
O-H. Okay.
Yeah.
This is R.L. Jackson saying so long for Carol P. Roman and Anita Dickinson. We'd like to thank our guest, Miranda Oh, and all our listeners. We hope you'll tune in for another Indie Authors Roundtable where we bring the latest in books, authors, and indie publishing to the table. Don't forget to catch the latest issue of Indie Authors Monthly available on Magster.com. Have an amazing day and see you next time.